Who was this man? What was he?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Oh, there's Laura B. Laura, thank you for listening tonight. Coming up tonight, the greatest frustration of our adult lives, the bullies of our adult lives. They're named customer service. Now, Dr. Dave Weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
The greatest sale on earth. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about cops' off-duty employment, moonlighting, side gigs, including one former NYPD member who was trusted to watch a museum and passed out in an exhibit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We are on baby watch for one of my wife's friends. So she's bringing her four kids over to mingle with our kids.
As we continue to wait for this very overdue baby.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
More arrests at a well-documented jingle joint for mobsters. Strippers on the loose. Later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688. W-A-L-T.
So, I'm just saying, but if we were dating, you would not be able to open your phone anywhere in public because I like to send my man some encouragement to get through work.
Pharaoh's Gentlemen's Club has received more airtime on Sterling on Sunday than perhaps any exotic dancing establishment in the USA, and for great reasons. Peter Garaci, we've talked about him. Apparently mob connected. Allegedly, a DEA agent gets arrested on this. A suicide. Well, the judge happened because of the connection to this club. Now the leader of the International Outlaws Motorcycle Club and two other motorcycle club members were arrested for their crimes having to do with our buddy Peter Garaci and the entire crew at Pharaoh's Gentlemen's Club. John Ehrman, general manager of the club, outlaw motorcycle gang guy. Yeah, not so good. State Supreme Court Justice John Mikulski, who was called an unindicted co-conspirator, he committed suicide. Of course, Garaci sex trafficked dancers. And an Amherst police detective has been arrested for lying to federal agents. The net is wide. The indictments many. Pharaoh's Gentlemen's Club. If you had been to this club and you'd enjoyed the delights of the dancers and what they do to make every man happy who walks through that door. If you participate in any illegal activity, my guess is you're going to be indicted. This is obviously hurting the reputation of the exotic dancing industry. And I'm just not standing up for it. There were always adventures in the champagne room. For strippers on the loose, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at night.
The JB Bakery is the official bakery of Sterling on Sunday. And the two people involved with the bakery who come on Sterling on Sunday, I'm fascinated by them. Steve the Baker and Siliana both work at the bakery. Steve the Baker is the owner, I guess. Siliana works there on a regular basis while she's attending college. But here's why they fascinate me. They're hot. When you think of a baker, you think of somebody who looks like Chef Boyardee or the aunt that you avoid at Thanksgiving. These two could be models. They're hot, and they love what they do. And Steve acquired the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, on some mysterious grounds. I said to him last time, I said, did you inherit this bakery, Steve? And what was that answer, Steve? What did you say?
Hey, Walter, good to talk to you. Definitely the bakery, you know, it's been around since the 50s, and I basically just stumbled in there and just started getting to work. It has some really good products, and I just like making the wonderful bakery desserts for everybody. The customers are great.
I posted on Facebook a picture of Steve the Baker and Ciliana, who works at the bakery and probably by now should be called general manager. What should you be called, Ciliana?
At least the general manager at this point. I think we talked about how I should probably own part of the business, given the amount of work I do. But, you know, something like that. General manager sounds about right.
I think that's about right. I think that would be an appropriate Christmas gift. Now, there's been some scandal at the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, about the jelly donuts. Would one of you reveal what the scandal's about?
Yeah, Walter, I just randomly posted the picture of jelly donuts. My jelly donuts are really famous. You always commented about how you like the size and how much filling is in them, because I sent you some cream donuts not too long ago. So I just wished everybody that was celebrating Hanukkah, and it looks like I got more comments than I bargained for and more attention on these jelly donuts that were just bursting with jelly and coated with granulated sugar. It was just like a really nice picture. They had just gotten done, got out of the fryer, and they were ready for the Hanukkah celebration, because I'm well known for amazing jelly donuts, and people will travel, you know, especially during this holiday. But the comments on Facebook, which wasn't my intention, a lot of people just blew it out of proportion. It's just not necessary.
Well, Ciliana, one of the things that I've noticed is these are the largest jelly donuts in America. These are Jersey size jelly donuts. They are stunning and spectacular. And even if you don't like jelly donuts, the minute you see a J&B Bakery jelly donut, you will want a J&B Bakery jelly donut. And I think it's important for me to disclaim the fact that Steve and Ciliana are on the show because I find them fascinating. They're not paying for the airtime. It's not products placement. It's not paid promotion. No. I just respect and admire the fact that these two, who could do pretty much whatever they want because they're young, they're good-looking, and they're smart. Well, Ciliana's smart, could do anything, and they've chosen to work in the bakery. Maybe the most traditional retail business in humankind. I mean, you think about it. What would have been the first retail business? Somebody who could bake your bread. That would be my hunch. And they're doing it with great pride and finesse. Now, I've had listeners, Midnight Misfits like Neil and Judy Paul, who have visited the store. Another couple visited when you two weren't there, but they were very impressed with the J&B Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. At this time of year, is there a change in the type of orders? Are they ordering different things? Is there a different group of baked goods that is appealing?
Well, it's definitely more of like holiday goods at this time of the year. So a lot of people order dinner rolls and bread and stuff like that. A lot of pies, obviously, at Thanksgiving and cakes and those kinds of things. As we approach Christmas, we'll get a lot of cookie tray orders. And then we have the new hot chocolate donuts as well, which have like a marshmallow fluff filling. It's a chocolate donut and it's vanilla frosting and like a hot chocolate whipped cream. They're very, very good. So that's brand new. And then eggnog donuts as well. We have all the new holiday items that are rolling out, so we'll get orders for those as well.
I will convince you, because this is a network show. This is on at 7:16 p.m. at KFBK in Sacramento and throughout California. I will convince you to start up a delivery service, because you will kill. You will do so well because of two reasons. Your product's superior at the J&B Bakery, but the other reason is that town after town after town has no bakery. They don't have one. They've got a section. Tell me if this isn't true. You go to a ShopRite or you go to a Giant Eagle or a Kroger's, they may have a bakery section. Guaranteed, that bakery section closes long before the store closes, and I've never understood that. And then some stores, get this, you'll love this, some supermarkets have a bakery section. They have bakery trays on those big racks, and it smells, it has the aroma of a bakery. But in fact, if you could go behind the counter and walk back there, there is nothing baked there. They, in fact, do not do any baking at the supermarket bakeries. Some do, but most don't. And that is our exposure throughout the country to most baking experiences. Tell me, do you do the right thing when somebody comes in there with their 8-year-old? Do you immediately offer the 8-year-old a cookie? Either one of you,
Walter. We have this butter cookie free sample tray. Kids flock to it. They almost like know about it before, you know, they walk through the door. They're always going right for the free samples, and we're happy to put them out. And it's all fresh cookies too, especially the school kids. As soon as they get out of school, the first place they go is to the free sample cookies. And we're happy to just like let them grab whatever they want, even if they want more than one. So it's kind of like, oh, wow, we're going to the bakery. At least I could get the free sample cookie. But we offer a lot of different things. Even when we're doing something different, promotional, we'll put samples of any of the kind of cakes, seasonal cakes, like we did a sweet potato bread during Thanksgiving, and that went out as a free sample. But I always have this motto, like our motto is where everything's just baked, JB Bakery. It's always just baked. So a lot of times when something comes out of the oven, where you're not going to get that at like a supermarket, or, you know, one of these kind of like fake bakery places where they just take things out of a box and plop it on a pan and throw it in the oven. Our stuff is made by real bakers that are baking in the back, mixing and kneading things with their hands, and taking the risk of getting burnt. There's many times where I've gotten burnt, but it's worth it's definitely worth making the product. And they get to try something that just came out of the oven, and usually it turns into a sale. So that's what... That's what makes us stand out. That's what makes JB Bakery unique.
Now, on a spiritual level, I'm hoping that you two are listening to me on the phone and not on the radio, because there's this scary space between my question and your answer, like this.
I'll speed it up for you, buddy.
Like, are you listening on the radio?
Nah, we're just talking to you.
So why is there the delay?
Think of the best answer for your audience, because you got the best audience on a Sunday night listening to you.
Oh, they don't need. They don't need a good answer. It's really okay. Now, the other question I have for you is, I started to watch this TikTok video of what bakeries do with leftover bread. But I didn't have time to watch the end. They were putting the bread in some blender or something. Steve at JB Bakery, what do you do with leftover bread?
Leftover bread, there's many, many things that can be done with it. Bread crumbs, for sure, for cooking at home. We make a famous bread pudding. I'll put leftover sticky buns and Danish and sweet bread, like a challah bread. I'll mix all that together, bake it with egg custard. And so I'm really well known for the bread pudding because it's fresh every day. There's always leftovers. There's always something. We don't like to move things to the next day.
No.
So that's what's really good.
Now, most importantly, Ciliano, how's it going in college? How are you balancing work and the demands of college? How's it working out? How are your grades for this first semester?
Everything's going pretty well. I'm in my final season at this point, so I just got to get through my exams this week, and then it's Christmas at the bakery, so obviously we're working hard there and just getting everything ready for the holidays. So it's a busy time of year, but I'm excited for the holidays.
One of the things that I admire about both of you is when I see famous, rich media people who do morning shows like the Today Show or Good Morning America, they always say, well, I love my job, but I sure don't like getting up at 2:30. And I'm like, yeah, and neither do the FedEx truck drivers and the bus drivers, our city bus drivers, and neither to the first shift workers in hospitals, and neither do bakers. But, you know, people who are making millions doing a morning show on TV, they always think they're getting up at 3:30 in the morning is very special. What time do you get up, Steve?
Actually, I'm usually much later. Actually work usually 3 p.m. but I'll go till 3 a.m. 4 a.m. during the night. So I'm always making sure that the store is ready to go for the morning rush, people getting fresh donuts. So I like to work afternoon, evenings, and late into the early morning. That's my schedule. But I do have bakers that come in 2 a.m. and they're ready for, you know, baking at 6 a.m. and everything that's hot and fresh out of the oven for the morning when we open up. So that's what's unique about the shop.
All right, Ciliana, what is the formal name and address and the phone number of the bakery? I really am grateful the two of you were on with me tonight. So what's the formal name, address, and phone number of the bakery?
So the formal name of the bakery is JB Bakery, and it's the phone number is 609-386-2295. You can call that number to place all your holiday orders or if you have any questions about any of our products. And the address is 712 South High Street in Burlington, New Jersey.
All right. Steve, Ciliana, thank you very much. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by pilot error.
Keep us out over the lake south of the city for now at 3,000 feet. But I'm not sure we're going to maintain 3,000 very easy.
You know, I'm so frustrated. I've rarely come on the air as frustrated as I am now. And that's because I have encountered the bullies of our time, otherwise known as customer service. And when I get this frustrated, the only way I get happy enough to do a show with you is to play a song repeatedly that makes me happy. This song I play repeatedly before I went on the air to make me happy. Why was I unhappy? Three horrible customer service events this week, ending with the fact that 2 weeks ago, I ordered a new Mac computer because my old Mac computer melted. Did you hear what I said? My old Mac computer actually melted. The fan stopped running next to my bed one night. I wake up and it had melted. That means that I have not had a computer for 2 weeks. And I started my computer journey with an Apple Macintosh. And I'm left-handed. It's a different side of the brain than a PC. I have been forced to borrow my wife's PC to do this show for the past 2 weeks. And it's hell. First, Sean has to fire a lot of the sound effects that I would normally fire. This confuses him because I'm so bad at giving cues, so bad at labeling sound that it's hopeless. But also, it hurts the rhythm of the show. It hurts the rhythm of the show. And, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, this is really key to keeping you awake in the 18-wheeler, isn't it, Keith Mortensen? I'm listening to the times to get happy. Indulge me in listening to the times. So let me start this again. Let's go to a different point. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Steve Harvey.
Okay, you want truth? This is why men lie. Because we are afraid of your reaction to the truth.
Sterling on Sunday. It's a live radio show, coast to coast. It's the serious grown-up time of year coming up. We have customer service hell. Dr. Dave, weather in the Northeast. Go.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
The greatest sale on earth. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about cops' off-duty employment, moonlighting, side gigs, including one former NYPD member who was trusted to watch a museum and passed out in an exhibit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We are on baby watch for one of my wife's friends. So she's bringing her four kids over to mingle with our kids.
As we continue to wait for this very overdue baby.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688. WALT.
Call on Twitter. Call on Facebook. Take that down. Get rid of that account. And it wasn't just on election interference. It was on COVID vaccines. It was on lockdowns.
Why can't John Kennedy be my senator? Why would I have to move to Louisiana for him to be my senator? Forget about what he says. Listen to how he says it. He's the most brilliant orator in the Senate. All right, Walter Sterling. Sterling on Sunday. It is holidays. It is buying stuff time. That means that you and I have to come in contact with a very strange, troublesome disease called customer service. Now, when we leave high school, we think that we are done with bullies, that there are no more bullies. But in fact, customer service at any company is a bully organization because it's the same dynamic as the bully you had to deal with in high school. Why is that? I'll tell you exactly why. Because I'm a talk show host. That's what I do. I explain things that really don't need to be explained, but we got a lot of time to fill up here. Here's the deal. In high school, you're stuck. You're geographically, physically stuck. You can't leave. It's a very confined space. You know, at some point in the day, you will run into your bully. No matter if you take that hallway, go around the other side, take the other exit, you will at some point run into your bully. And your bully is then has the freedom to do what they will within certain laws, but not many. Well, now you're an adult. We're adults. And we need to call customer service. And I started to think about what companies have good customer service and what companies never do. The companies that never have good customer service are banks. You get on the phone to talk to customer service at a bank, good luck. The other is the phone company. Any cell phone company have bad customer service. Other companies, most retailers, Costco, any big retailer, they tend to have pretty good customer service. Trouble at a restaurant, pretty good customer service. What's the difference? Phone companies and banks are rooted in the same DNA. They started as monopolies. They started being protected as a monopoly. To this day, no matter how cool and groovy Verizon and AT&T try to be by buying up show business companies, by buying up the Discovery Networks, by buying up CNN, no matter what, at the end of it, the core of the people who work at AT&T are copper wire people. They're people who were hired 30 or 40 years ago when those companies were absolute monopolies, and they were worried about the depreciation of the copper wire in the desert that took the last mile. What's that? What's the last mile? The last mile is the monopoly. Because you see, by federal law, you and I can start up a phone company and we cannot be blocked anymore. Until we get to the last mile, from the network to your house. And that is controlled forever by the original established phone company in your town. The last mile. That's what is controlled by the traditional old New York telephones and Southern Bells. Remember them? Okay, they still control all that. Now, they still think like a monopoly. You call Sprint. You call T-Mobile. Oh, Sprint merged with T-Mobile, right? Verizon, good luck. You call Verizon, you got to set aside at least 1 hour. You're going to be on the phone for at least 1 hour. But my favorite are the banks. In September, well, let me finish this. The reason I don't have a computer today is I ordered a computer from Walmart. And I ordered a refurbished, rebuilt computer, a Mac, because I'm not going to spend $1,200 for a new Mac. So I got a really good price on this, except, of course, I don't actually have the computer. It was supposed to arrive this past Monday. Today, I still don't have the computer, and now I'm online at Walmart tracking. Well, you know what it says? It says the computer started in Washington State, arrived in New Jersey, has a label to be shipped to me, and it's sitting somewhere in New Jersey. Sitting somewhere in a warehouse in New Jersey, like The Sopranos, doesn't sound good. I can't be optimistic about that. I'm not going to be optimistic about it. But it's sitting somewhere in New Jersey, and it says, sorry, delayed. Every day I get an email from Walmart saying, we're sorry, it's delayed. We're really sorry. Because, you see, now Walmart has reached the size of a monopoly. It is so big, it is a monopoly. Well, how big is Walmart? You won't believe it when I tell you. It is the largest corporation, highest revenue corporation in the world. What? More than General Motors, Chrysler, Honda, Volkswagen, some weird steel company in China. More than any other company in the world, Walmart is the highest grossing business in the world. 20 years ago, it wasn't on the top 20 list. Number one on the list was General Motors, and then Volkswagen, as it's supposed to be. I'd like to know where my computer is, because you see, as long as I'm stuck with a PC, I am miserable. I don't understand how PCs work. I don't understand. I can't anticipate them. It will never be transparent to me, and I'm left-handed. And nothing has been built more for right-handed people than PCs. Max, consider that there may be left-handed people in the world. Whole different worldview. Now, think about your customer service experiences this month, because this is the World Series month for customer service. Terrible experiences, difficulties that you've had. Here's my phone number. We can share. There's a coffee pot and a donut and certainly a resentment. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT is my phone number. But the worst customer service experience I've had has been with Chase Bank. In September, I'll give you the abridged version, but I'm happy to talk about this for hours. Chase Bank, I'm putting my ATM debit card into a gas pump to pump gas in the wilderness, and it's declined. Now, I knew there was money in that account. Miraculously, for once in my life, I knew there was money in the account. This never happens, but I knew there was money in the account, and it gets declined, and it's a Saturday in the woods. There's no one to call, no one to talk to. I get voicemail at Chase. On Monday morning, my friend at Chase, the person who opened the account, says, we're very sorry, Mr. Sterling. According to our computers, you're dead. Chase had decided I was dead. I said, well, clearly I'm not dead. Why don't you just fix this? And my bank guy says, I can't. I said, but you're a big shot at the bank. He says, you have to call them. I said, why do I have to call them? I said, if I call them, I'll be on hold for 2 hours. I'll die before the end of the call. I didn't feel like it. I go into the bank the next day, and my friend is busy. And he says, well, she'll help you. And I'm like, no, she can't help me. He said, she'll help you. I knew this would not go well. I sit there, and I say to her, this is a disaster. It thinks I'm dead. Clearly, I'm not dead. I'm sitting in front of you. And she says, you have to call. I said, what? You have to call. Why? I'm sitting here in the bank. You can all see me. Your boss can see me. I'm alive. Here's my driver's license. I'm alive. You have to call. I get mad. I didn't threaten, curse, nothing. I just was annoyed. I was annoyed. And she was ruffled. But I'm dead, so I don't care. You know, I was dead. The next series of events was even worse. I mean, really bad with Chase Bank. And I'll share that with you coming up in seconds. Plus, you and I are going to talk to North Pole. We're going to talk to the North Pole and find out exactly how busy Santa is right now. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by lesbians.
And how long have you been into women? I didn't say I was. Yeah, and have to.
All right, it's Sterling on Sunday, live on a Sunday night, coast to coast. Here we are, no best of, no repeat, none of that sleazy crap. Julia in Tennessee, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Happy Sunday, Julia.
Happy Sunday and happy Christmas when it comes. You know, you're talking about customer service, and I'm 74. I've been through customer service experiences for a million years at this point. And you can get really frustrated, and I understand your point. I'm going to try to come at it from a different point of view, and I find that you're not going to get anywhere if the person is a robot to begin with and speaking the robot speak to you. But if you can say, hey, how you doing? And I find that you can get a long way into the process if you can get the humanity out of them. So I guess that's my point.
If
you agree?
No, because I
you
have
don't.
No. I'll tell you why, Julia. Because I have taken that approach in the past few years of being a sane person. I start with a joke, a conversation. How are you? But then if they're good at their job, yes, you're right. But if they haven't been trained well enough, if they don't understand the technical aspect of the question, if they have to put me on hold
and well, yes.
Yeah, if they have to put me on hold and ask 10 other people, then it doesn't go as well. But, Julia, I appreciate your spirit. It is a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah spirit. I am deeply grateful that you're listening. But mostly, I hope you go to waltersterlingshow.com and just look at the information about our trip to the French Riviera. Will you do that?
I will, and I'll bet it's spectacular.
Thank you very much for the call, and thanks for listening to Sterling on Sunday, Julia. 888-688-WALT, your customer service frustration, the bullies of adults, customer service people. 888-688-WALT, the legendary Keith Fonz in North Pole, Alaska. You are at the epicenter of power at this time of year. You are close to the center of power. It's nuclear joy is what you live near. How busy is Santa, Keith Fonz?
Oh, he is really busy at the moment, and the little workers are getting the reindeer all nice and warm and ready to go. And, you know, it's that busy time of year. Like last night, we had the big fireworks here in North Pole to bring out the start of the Christmas. We're down to like 2 weeks before Christmas, a little bit over, and they're trying to squeeze in everything they can.
Do your kids living at North Pole, Alaska, do your kids get the gifts first?
You know, I've never stayed I don't know. I don't stay up all night to see when he actually comes, but you would think he'd probably hit us first and then go around the world. Either that or we'd be the last ones on his way back home, his little home stretch.
Now, I know you can see Santa's workshop and Santa's house in North Pole, Alaska. Have you ever seen him?
Oh, yeah. He's there all year long. This time of the year, actually, he's sitting in there, you know, meeting the kids and the public and anybody that wants to come see him. And he's really good at, you know, you can go to his house. His actual house is here, and you can go in there any day of the week, pretty much all year long, and meet him. We even had Santa Claus. He sat on the city council here for, I believe, about 6 years.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Horrible weather in the Northeast, tornadoes in Tennessee. Oh my gosh, Dr. Dave with an explanation.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up,
the greatest sale on earth. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about cops' off-duty employment, moonlighting, side gigs, including one former NYPD member who was trusted to watch a museum and passed out in an exhibit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We are on baby watch for one of my wife's friends. So she's bringing her four kids over to mingle with our kids.
As we continue to wait for this very overdue baby.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
It is a joy to be with you. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome home. It's great to have you back in the house. With all the other misfits, it's just us. You and me in the 18-wheeler, 14 inches away from the speaker. I'm 14 inches away from the microphone. This is the most intimate and powerful medium ever created. Because whenever I'm told, you know, well, you should go online and listen to this thing online, and I'll go online, and you know what the brand name is of these things online? Buffering Now. They're all named Buffering Now. And then I sit and I wait, and it says time out, timed out. Whereas the magic of radio for over 100 years is it has this knob that says on, and I turn it on, and son of a gun, it's on. I hate when I hear these arrogant dickheads say, well, you know, radio's a fossil medium. Radio is old school. It's legacy media. That's the words. Legacy media. And I say it's not legacy media, it's proven media. The reason this has existed for 110 years is that it's proven. Most of the advertising on the radio, on this radio station, is local retailers. Local retailers are a pragmatic bunch. If things aren't selling, they don't buy any more advertising. They have been buying advertising for 110 years. And you go to Cincinnati. Go to downtown Cincinnati. Look at the buildings that were built before 1955 for Procter & Gamble. Well, what built those buildings? Radio advertising built the buildings before 1955. And then about 10 years ago, largely thanks to Craig Kitchen, Procter & Gamble now is a robust major advertiser on radio again, because they found out that the only way to reach you going to work, at work, on the job at 11 o'clock at night in your 18-wheeler is the radio. Keith Fonz is at the North Pole. Gremlins, Elf on the Shelf, attacked us earlier. And I didn't get to finish the question, which was, do you ever see Santa Claus at the North Pole?
Indeed. Actually, you can visit Santa Claus's house any day of the year, all year long, and he's always available to meet you and greet you and have a conversation. And next door, we even have the Reindeer Academy, which is where his reindeer sit all year long and get their exercise.
This is North Pole, Alaska, which is near Fairbanks. Now, you told me something wacky last time. He was actually on the city council of North Pole, Alaska, the city council. Is that right, Keith Fonz?
Oh, yeah. For, I believe it was 6 years, he did two terms, and he sat on the city council here.
Was he a demanding council member?
No, definitely relaxed, joyful. Even still to this day, you see him walking around, even if it's like yesterday, negative 30 degrees outside, and he was taking a little walk around town.
Negative 30 yesterday. What is it right now, Keith Fonz, in North Pole, Alaska? What is it?
Right now, it's negative 22.
Those of us in the lower 48 can't even imagine what that means. We have no idea. How can you go out? You can only go out for a few seconds, right?
I do deliveries in it, but yeah, you pretty much want to jump in and out of your vehicle or stay indoors. And, you know, people down in the lower 48, they have electric vehicles that you plug in. Well, here in Alaska, we plug our cars in at night, but not because they're electric. So that way they don't freeze up. So
it's the electric dipstick, right? It's the electric dipstick that keeps the oil warm.
Right.
Right. Well, you're a great man, a great friend of the show. I wish you a happy holiday for you and your family. Thank you very much for the report from North Pole, Alaska. Keith is on a Facebook page and a TikTok page. It's Keith Fons, F-O-N-S. What's your handle on TikTok?
North Pole, Alaska, 420.
North Pole, Alaska, 420 on TikTok. Keith Fons, thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. Welcome home. I'm Walter M. Sterling, talking about the horror at this time of year of the thing that you and I have to deal with, which is customer service. This is the ultimate bullying organization. It's organized bullying of adults. You think you leave high school, you leave the bullies, they're all gone. All right. They're not. Now they work at customer service. A couple months ago, Chase Bank decided I was dead. And I had to go into the bank to prove that I wasn't dead. And then going into the bank, that wasn't enough. They said, you have to call this number. I called the number, and I'm on the phone. I clocked it for 50 minutes, 5-0, trying to prove that I was alive. I was sent from one person to another person to another person. Finally, by the sixth person, I get the Estate Department, E-S, Estate Department, the department for people who are dead. Now, I don't know who dead people talk to, but they have a whole department for them at Chase. I'm on the phone with the Estate Department. And she really couldn't help me. I said, well, I'm alive. What do I have to do to prove to you that I'm alive? Hold on. Now I'm on hold for, 15, 20 minutes, and then I go to another one. I had to go to three different people in the Chase Estate Department to prove that I was alive. Finally, I get an executive there who says, oh, yes, you're alive. We'll send you out a new debit card. I said, do not send me a new debit card. Turn on the one I have. Make the one I have work. Miraculously, amazingly, they did. Now it's the next day, and I'm starting to get letters in the real mail from Chase addressed to the estate of Walter Sterling. The estate of Walter Sterling. Mail going to whoever takes care of my life after I'm dead. And then I'm starting to get emails and letters informing me that credit bureaus have been told I am dead. Now, the credit bureaus think I'm dead. Chase thought I was dead. I had to prove that I was alive. Okay, but it gets better. And I will tell you what happened next with Chase in just seconds. But I want to know your horrors with customer service. This is a chance to vent anonymously. 888-688-9258. That's my phone number live. 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ringo.
I love playing live.
I mean, that's what it's all about for me. That's the gig. If you want to connect with an audience, you've got to love them. You've got to love what you do, and you got to love them because that's why you're there, because they've come out to see you. Bars, pubs, clubs, weddings, anywhere. There's a magic moment when the band and the audience are just on. And that's a lot of peace and love. So when I tour now, I love the audience. They love me. And we have certain gigs where it's just heart-filling.
All right. Sterling on Sunday. Now I've been telling you about the fact that Chase Bank decided I was dead. They told the credit bureaus I was dead. I had to go to the bank to prove I was alive. That wasn't enough. I had to call a secret number and be on the phone for an hour to prove that I was alive. And I was getting emails saying that they had reported to credit bureaus that I was dead. And I was annoyed. And then the spooky thing happens. I get a letter or an email or something that all of my accounts will now be closed. Mine, my wife's, my daughter's will be closed on Friday. And I start to get texts from my daughters. Dad, what's wrong with Chase? Why can't I deposit a check? Dad, what's wrong with Chase? Why can't I pay my rent? Now, the problem with this was besides all that, that they were away at college. They're 400 miles away from home. And that's pretty scary to all of a sudden not have access to your money, not understand what's going on. Oh, my gosh. Well, I didn't understand what was going on. Now my wife goes to the branch because I dare not go to the branch because I had been annoyed with somebody at the branch. I did not threaten. I did not curse, but I was annoyed. I had every right to be annoyed because I was dead. I don't know how to behave as a dead man. I hadn't been dead before. Get this. They said to my wife, well, you can have an account, and your daughters can have an account, but your husband cannot. But my daughters had to go to their local branch and open their own accounts to get access to their money. They couldn't just get their money out of their accounts. They had to open a new account that was not linked to mine in any way in order to get their money. Now, my daughter, my oldest daughter, produces a television show on Saturday. Her rundown day is Friday, and this all happened on Friday morning. And she had to make a trek to the local branch. She didn't have a car. She's in college. She had to make a trek to the local branch where she was treated rudely, where the branch manager was not happy to see her, that they did not recognize what the branch manager at my bank had told them to do, which was just go there, tell the branch manager, be no problem. There were problems. My daughter's now upset. She's missing her rundown day. She's screwing up her TV show. She doesn't have access to her money. And she's 400 miles away from home. The other kid, similar problem. Listen to me, Chase. You traumatized my two daughters. You traumatized my daughters. And that's why I get to tell this story to the country. And it's why I will tell it to the country again and again and again. Okay, that was 3 months ago. This week, I get a letter from Chase telling me that my account has been closed. Well, I'm like, yeah, but I knew that. You closed it 3 months ago. And this is a little longer. Now they felt that they could finally tell me why. It wasn't because they killed me, but because I was, quote, inappropriate with a Chase employee. Now, it doesn't say who, doesn't say who, what, where, or when, and it doesn't say how to make amends. It just says they're closing the account. And a long list of deadlines. And if you don't get the money out by this date, we can keep it. And we're going to mail it back to you on this day. And you'd better be here this date. And you better crack like a duck and face the moon and watch the sunrise come up. Oh, my God. The arrogance. The arrogance. Because the big thing, when they had told me it was closed the first time, I said, well, why are you closing it? Because we have the right to close it. Yeah, I know, but why? We can do it for any reason we want. What's the reason? Turns out, according to many national newspapers, it turns out this is a trend among retail banks. PNC, Chase, Wells Fargo, everybody's favorite, they're all closing accounts. And when you say, why are you closing this account, they don't give a reason. There's no reason. Well, what's the reason? Well, we can close it for any reason. Yeah, fine. What's the reason? No answer. No answer. No answer. No answer. That is arrogance, because if I ask you to leave my house, I will tell you why. You will know why. If I ask you to get out of the car, get out of my company, if I fire you, you will know why. Therefore, I got in touch with Senator Sherrod Brown, and Sherrod Brown is on Senate Banking and Finance Committee, along with Pocahontas, and they're both on the Senate Banking Committee. And I called that office, and I said I'd like him to come on my show, Sherrod Brown, because I'd like there to be a new rule, a new banking rule, which is the banks can close the accounts. I get that. It's a business. They should be able to do business with whomever they want. But if they close my account, they must tell me why. Because first of all, if there's a problem, I need to know. Secondly, if there's some behavior that I can correct in the future, I need to know. And secondly, they may be wrong. It may just be an algorithm, and I may have a fact or two that would help their business to keep my business. Got it? I said to Senator Sherrod Brown's office, I said, I'd like to have him on my national radio show to just propose this idea to him, since now it's been covered in newspapers across the country, big, serious, real newspapers, who I will not promote and name. No, thank you. But this is incredible. Okay. Oh, I'm sure they'll talk to you, says the person who answers the phone. I'm sure the press people will talk to you. Well, could I talk to a press person? Well, they're not in right now at Sherrod Brown's office, but then this was the kicker. This is a government office paid for by you and me, right? This is a government office. And I said, well, what is the name of the head of communications? What is the name of the head of press relations? You know what Sherrod Brown's office said to me? We have a rule that we don't give out the names of the people who work in this office. What? The senator's office? You have a rule that says you don't give out the names of people who work in this office? In a senator's office, you're not allowed to give out the names of the public employees? That's what I was told at Senator Sherrod Brown's office. When I wanted him to come on Sterling on Sunday, that's this show, live, to take a suggestion about retail banking. And the suggestion is, if they close an account, yes, they have the right to do business with me or not, but they should tell the customer why it's being closed. These are some of my customer service experiences this month, and therefore, I am miserable. I don't have a computer. I don't have resolution on my banking issues, and there's more I've got to tell you about coming up in just seconds. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Live on the radio, finally you get to be the media. When you call this show and you go on the air, you're the media. You're the traditional media, the mainstream media, well, you'd be whatever kind of media you want. Anything you want, 888-688-WALT. And right now, please take a look on the website, waltersterlingshow.com. Right at the top of the homepage is a picture of the Mediterranean off the coast of Nice. Take a look at it. Click on it. Register to get the information. You're not obligated. Just get the information and come to the French Riviera with me in October. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by almost Tom Cotter.
I'd love to see you give birth to a child.
Yeah, I'd love to see you pee your initials in the snow. We're just different, huh? And by the way, I've been up here for, what, 5 minutes now? Have you heard me once talk like this? Oh, you.
Dr. Dave with your weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
The greatest sale on earth. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about cops off-duty employment, moonlighting, side gigs, including one former NYPD member who was trusted to watch a museum and passed out in an exhibit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We are on baby watch for one of my wife's friends. So she's bringing her four kids over to mingle with our kids.
As we continue to wait for this very overdue baby.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
And call. We're live. You get to talk to the whole country about your crappy customer service experiences. My other worst customer service experience, besides all banks and all cell phone companies, is anytime I go into a major department store, a large anchor store, one of those anchor stores in one of the big malls, the empty big malls, because whenever I go into a big anchor department store, where do I go? I go to the men's department. What do I find in the men's department? Nobody. These malls are not dying because of Amazon. That's a lot of nonsense. I would suggest that Amazon improves retail traffic because people want to go see the thing they've seen online. If it's a big item, don't you want to actually go visit it, touch it, have lunch with it, experience it, and then buy it? And you might buy it on Amazon, but the fact is you're going to go into that mall and you're going to buy something when you teach and touch it, right? You're going to go get bourbon chicken at the food court. Does bourbon chicken exist anyplace else but the food court? Neil Paul? No. Judy Paul, does it exist anyplace else? No. I hope you had a great Christmas party tonight. And Laura B., welcome, welcome. This is your home. This is where the misfits belong. This is Sterling on Sunday. The mall experience, when I go to a big anchor store, big department store, one of those huge, and I go to the men's department, what do I find? Nobody. There's nobody there. If I want these pants in a slightly different size and maybe you have them in the back, who do I talk to? They're not there. And then, oh, wait, do you work in this department? No, this isn't my department. I'll page them. Well, you have to page a customer service person. You have to page somebody to sell you something in a big department store. There should be teeming with people. Even worse, God help you if you go to the shoe department with your girlfriend, daughter, or wife, or all three, and in the woman's department, and you want somebody to bring out the different size from the back, forget it. They have maybe two people working in there, 100 customers at any given time. A Saturday, it's insane. Saks Fifth Avenue, New York. Do you know this is a fact? The shoe department at Saks Fifth Avenue is so busy, it has its own zip code. Good luck finding customer service in those departments. That's why Amazon's doing well. It's not because the people would rather not go to the mall or not go to the store. We would rather have somebody take care of us. I can get instant answers on Amazon. I can get instant answers. But some retailers haven't caught on yet. As big as Walmart is, and it's the largest company in the world, not largest store, largest company in the world, they were very slow to online sales. They're very slow to build a working selling website. And it's still pretty wonky. And they want, what, $10 for what? To me, to be a Walmart Plus person? What does that mean? Oh, you get free Disney? Well, I'll just take the Disney. I bought a computer, a used Apple Macintosh at Walmart. And Catherine A. just sent me a note saying, yeah, that was your first mistake, Walter. You buy a Mac from Apple. And she's right. I decided to buy it from Walmart. Well, that was supposed to have arrived on Monday. Now we're at 2 weeks. The last time I tracked it, it said that it was in New Jersey. It had gone from Oregon to New Jersey. And they're making a label. I'm not kidding you. It says making a label for my computer. Now, I'm going crazy because I have to work on PCs. I have to borrow my wife's PC. She hates it when I do that because I mess up whatever she's doing. And there are no other computers in the house for me to use. My two kids are at college or else I'd borrow theirs. I don't want to borrow anybody's computer because I don't want people tracking where I've been on the internet. You understand that. I know you understand that. I don't want anyone to see that. It's not that it's embarrassing. It's stupid. Like, I buy stuff on Temu. Have you bought anything on T-E-M-U? I bought a really cool shirt on Temu for 8 cents. And at some point, we're going to find out there's some huge price attached to Temu that we don't know about today. But I want my own computer. And Walmart is denying me my own computer. Call them? I'm not calling Walmart. Can you imagine the hell you have customer service with your cell phone and with your banks? I don't want to enter the next circle of hell by talking to Walmart on the phone. Oh, can you imagine that? Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, live on KFBK, WPHT, KMBZ, and hopefully now KMOX. I hope that game is over. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Harvey Holiday.
Late on a Sunday night, it's Holiday with love music, and it's so sad to see good love go bang.
This trip to the Riviera, the French Riviera, is going to be next October. My wife and I are the hosts. Colette is a premium travel service, and they've put together a 9-day tour for you and me. One hotel. When they said 9 days, I said, I'm not going to 9 different hotels. They said, no. One hotel in Nice, and then we travel during the day to different places on the French Riviera if you want to. Or if you want to go sit on the beach, go sit on the beach. What sort of places? The most beautiful flower gardens in the world. Flowers by the acre that service the rest of the world. When you go to your florist, they're getting a lot of their flowers from the French Riviera. Let's see where they come from. Rows and rows. You know, those famous pictures you've seen of flowers, you go, my God, that's beautiful. We're going to see it. French wine tastings at a real chateau. We'll have the best wine you and I could imagine at a French chateau. What a day. What a beautiful day that will be. And then all the meals, which are the best, the finest in French cuisine, that's all part of the tour. That's all part of this package, the 9-day package. And then the casino at Monte Carlo. Like the movies, like the James Bond movies, we'll go to Monte Carlo. I have stayed in Monte Carlo twice, once with my sister, once with my wife. And we had the best time. The casino is so magnificent. It's so over the top. It's so crazy that you can't even imagine it. But every square inch of Monaco, and it's about the size of a square inch, is opulent, luxurious. You step out of the car and you start to walk around, and immediately you feel super rich. You feel a part of something that's amazing. The beach at Monte Carlo is like nothing you've ever experienced. It ain't the Jersey Shore. It ain't Santa Monica. You know what it is? You look, and as far as you see these beautiful lounge chairs, and you reserve one. You have to reserve a lounge chair, okay? They're all set up, though, for you. You don't have to do any heavy lifting in Monaco. Believe me, you don't. You sit there, and a waiter hands you a menu. And it's just not a menu for grilled cheese. It's a menu for great French food as you lounge on the beach in Monaco looking at the Mediterranean. And in October, the average water temperature is 70 degrees in October when we will be there. The reason we're going in October is this will give us plenty of time to plan, get our stuff together, make sure we have a passport, all that stuff, and have the bucket list vacation that we deserve. Because this month, what are you doing? You and I are buying gifts for everybody we've ever met. We're tipping the guy at the supermarket, the mailman, the guy who picks up our trash. We're giving. What about you? Isn't it time for you to treat yourself? Isn't it time for you and a friend or your partner or your love or your spouse? It could be all three of them. To go to the French Riviera, the bucket list trip with me and my wife, Katie. We would love to take you. Find out about it. All you have to do is go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com, and right at the top of the page, of the homepage, is a picture of the Mediterranean. Click on it and ask for the brochure. It is not like a brochure with 20 other trips. It's a brochure that was made for us. A special brochure just for Midnight Misfits from Colette Travel. There's my picture. Oh, my gosh. Now, if you want to call them just right now, if you don't have a computer, you don't feel like doing all of that, call them. 800-581-8942. I'll say it three more times. Don't worry. 800-581-8942. Talk to a real human being. Ask them whatever you want to know about the French Riviera with Walter Sterling. The dates are October 10th to the 18th. Next year, October 10th to the 18th. And then before that, we're going to have a big Zoom call. Everybody who's expressed any interest in doing this can hop on a Zoom call and ask all your questions. get everything answered. That's coming up. I'll give you details on that. But you got to see this brochure. There's my picture. It's a really good airbrushed picture of me. There's a picture of my wife and I the second we got engaged in Monaco. It's right here in this brochure, a picture of Katie and myself moments after we got engaged, the greatest moment of her life. All of her dreams and fantasies came true at that moment. Maybe it was gas. The number is 800-581-8942. Call them. Say it's the Walter Sterling Show, and you want to find out more about our trip to the French Riviera, or go to the website, waltersterlingshow.com. Put in your name. They'll mail you the information, and they won't bug you. This trip was assembled for you and me. Bucket list trip, French Riviera, Midnight Misfits, Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. I am Walter Sterling, and I love doing this show. I enjoy being with you. This week, Mark Rowan and Bill Ackman's dreams came true. Mark Rowan is the CEO of Apollo Advisors. He also is probably the biggest donor, the biggest contributor to the University of Pennsylvania. You know somebody smart. Think about in your life, you know one person who's the smartest person you know. That person. Mark Rowan is the smartest person I know. Mark is so smart that he speaks in haiku. Ask him a complicated question, he'll give you a two-word answer, and you better go do it. He is the CEO of Cox Broadcasting. He's the CEO of Apollo Advisors. Cox Broadcasting includes WSB in Atlanta. Ken Charles, it's time to put this show on WSB again. It was on WSB, had terrific results. Every month we're on a radio station across America. The ratings go up. Ken Charles, it is time, because Pete Spriggs is retired. He's very retired. In my opinion, he was retired for a long time. But Ken, you're like on top of the game. You went to Syracuse. You worked in Syracuse. You're the guy. Put my show back on, Ken. And I'll get you points with Mark Rowan. So Mark Rowan's the CEO of the company. I have known Mark for 20 years. He is the smartest, most decent man I know. And he was the biggest donor to the University of Pennsylvania, or certainly one of them, but he certainly had influence over all the other big billionaire donors. Mark's a billionaire, CEO of Apollo Advisors. And when the University of Pennsylvania, this McGill person, did not appropriately say, this is not okay, what Humas is doing is not okay, we condemn it, we do not have any tolerance for it. It is unacceptable at the University of Pennsylvania, and pound the desk and say it must stop. There's no such thing as genocide of Jews. Not okay. Not excusable. We forbid it. We will not accept this behavior on our campus. She didn't do that. And Mark Rowan publicly, and he's not a publicly guy. He's a quiet guy. Mark Rowan said, oh, I'm not giving you any more money. In fact, I'm taking back the money I pledged you. I'm taking back whatever money I can get back from you. Good for you, Mark. And Leslie Wexler, the man who came up with Victoria's Secret Angels, he said, I'm not giving them any more money either, to Harvard. And Bill Ackman, also a billionaire associated with Harvard, said, "We're not giving them any money. Because what I don't understand is how any knowledge of World War II, any knowledge of the Holocaust, would permit anybody to say anything but there is no tolerance for anti-Semitism here. There is no room for a Jewish student to feel unsafe. There is no room for our great university to in any way, shape, or form give comfort to a country, a group of people. It's not a country. Palestine isn't a country. A group of people who wish harm on Israelis. Let me put that in perspective. You're giving your toddler breakfast. It's a beautiful autumn morning in October. You're giving your toddler breakfast. Just you and the two-year-old eating breakfast. And there's a slamming sound on your kitchen window. And you look up, and there's somebody dressed in all black with a black ski mask and a huge rifle. And the rifle butt slams your window, breaks your window, a giant hand, gloved hand, comes in, grabs your toddler, and cuts off its head and threatens to murder you, and you better go with them. That's what Hamas has been doing to Israelis. And where it leads is to Jews in open-air train cars, open-air train cars in January being trained to their death at Auschwitz. That's where it goes. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
The greatest sale on earth. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about cops off-duty employment, moonlighting, side gigs, including one former NYPD member who was trusted to watch a museum and passed out in an exhibit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We are on baby watch for one of my wife's friends. So she's bringing her four kids over to mingle with our kids.
As we continue to wait for this very overdue baby.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're giving you stories of our life in an old house with our eight kids.
This week, it's all about labor, delivery, and how to treat a new mom.
Not for us, for your friend.
Right, for my friend. I've done it enough times, though. I think that I know the do's and don'ts of visitation and the weeks before and what people ask you, what people do and what they don't do.
In other words, we're the plan. If she goes into labor, she brings her four kids to our house.
Right.
So we've been having some practice runs. And when the kids come over, my job is to find a place to hide, try and figure out the best way to hide, where to hide in the house, and how not to get involved.
Right, because that's what you'll be doing the entire time she's in labor anyway. Kind of like when I was in labor. You just kind of sat in the corner and slept.
So. I like it when our children are born, not so much, well, never mind.
Right, well, it's not really about the children being born, but the things we've experienced this week have basically been they come over and I see when she comes to pick them up how many times she gets texts or phone calls to say, have you had that baby yet? When's that baby coming? Don't you want to give that baby an eviction notice?
So these are things not to do to expectant moms. What else?
So basically be there for her. Don't just wait on the baby that you want to hold after it's born. So in other words, if you haven't spoken to this person since their baby announcement, don't text them on their due date asking why there's no baby yet for them to come visit.
Oh my goodness.
Another thing that is huge on the list is this woman has a right to go deliver her baby without you knowing she's in labor, without being in the room, without bothering her. And after she's had that baby, she has the right to be comforted, yep. Not just people come visit her, take the baby out of her arms. So let me just put it this way. When you know someone is about to have a baby, give them space and support. After they've had that baby, find out what their coffee order is, what they'd like to eat, where they want you, and when they want you to come to visit.
Right, but after, not during. It's not a spectator sport.
No, not at all. And if someone
you
really...
You don't go there just to watch her give birth.
No.
I mean, that's crazy. I know that happens
it
in
does.
A lot of families. I
so
think it's
much.
Weird.
And I'll go back to me. You said this wasn't about me, but you know that in the beginning, baby number one, we had to basically fight people off with a stick. We told...
I don't want you... You're not coming in here to watch my wife give birth. That's something we're doing. You
right.
can come
if
later.
If you're
not coming
there,
in here with your fried chicken and your sub sandwiches, sitting around watching like it's a TV show.
Which are things that we've seen in the hospital is people who actually have pizzas and fried chicken
while this poor woman is giving birth.
Right.
We've seen this in the hospital.
Right.
It's like a smorgasbord going on.
It is.
It's like a buffet.
It's like a tailgate. They're tailgating the birth.
Anyway, keep these tips in mind, things not to do when someone is pregnant,
right.
Okay,
so let
and
me
giving
just,
birth.
Let me just recap here really quickly. Support the woman, support the father. If there's something that, if you want to be involved, make them a dinner. Don't say, well, if you need anything, I'll be there. Be there when they want you there. Be there for them, not just to take a baby out of their arms.
I'm Dan Gaffney on Facebook. It's Dan Gaffney Show.
I'm Becky Gaffney, and you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Just Being Mom. Dan and Becky, Sterling on Sunday.
Well, clearly they need more time, so next week they're going to have 3 hours. Next week they're going to be the guest stars of Sterling on Sunday, Dan and Becky Gaffney, live to share the horrors of having 18 children and a 150-year-old house. Dan and Becky Gaffney, thank you for guest starring on Sterling on Sunday next week. Why do I need a guest star next week? Because my cardiologist had this wacky idea that I need a new aortic valve. And so Tuesday, I'm going to have a new aortic valve put in laparoscopically. Thank you, Jesus. And then they said, well, and you really shouldn't work for a week. And I'm like, you know, really, I barely work now. It's not exactly heavy lifting. So therefore, by doctor's orders, I will not be here next week. But the good news is, and I can't wait to hear them because I love them, Dan and Becky Gaffney will be the guest stars next week. Dave Scott has all the explanations for everything that bumps in the night. Dave, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Always an honor to be with you, a real broadcaster and a Canadian.
Well, you know, someone's got to bring the woo to this show, so you might as well look north to find me to do it for you, buddy.
Dave, why don't you give us an update on any of the things that have intrigued you this week during the Christmas season?
Well, I mean, the big thing right now is what is going on within the Republican Party regarding UFOs. We talked about this last week, that the Big Five, which includes Mike Turner out of Ohio, shutting down the Schumer Amendment, which would have seen more UAP transparency for the lovely United States public who pays their bills. But unfortunately, no. But I've been able to figure it out, Walt, for us. Because I know you were looking for answers last week, and I figured, you know what, maybe I'll actually do some homework this week and get you some answers.
All right.
This has nothing to do with UFOs, my friend. Nothing to do with little green men or little gray dudes with big black eyes who come and kidnap you in the middle of the night. No, this has everything to do with protecting United States secrets from the public, but more so from the adversaries, Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, etc. Because under the transparency that would have fallen under the Schumer Act, anything that would be considered UAP would be transparent. Which means that if America has some secret jet fighter or some secret spy plane that has been noticed, the chances of it coming out publicly would be greater than if the Schumer Amendment had not been played with, so to speak. So there is your answer for this week on what you are looking for in UFO transparency.
I need you to explain that again. Why there can't be UFO transparency, why there can't be a Schumer Amendment. Please give me the explain that again.
Okay. So a number of years ago, remember when Hillary Clinton went on one of them late night talk shows and she was asked the UFO question and she says, we don't call them UFOs anymore. We call them UAP. The reason why they changed the delegation to UAP was because of the secrets that were being flown out of places like Area 51 or Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, the secret bases where the technology really lives. Okay, under the term UAP, you can also include UFOs. Okay, which means that we don't know where they're from. It could be another planet, another dimension, or time travelers. And they have been successful in really pushing the fact that some of these craft may not be from here. However, when it comes to the Schumer Act and the transparency of it all, that could come to light to the public of where America really is sitting technologically wise. the old Republican Guard that is watching this, they don't want that to happen. They want the military-industrial complex to still have their secrets, which is technology that could be anywhere from 50 to 100 years ahead of where we are seeing right now. And they want to protect that at all costs. And if somebody goes and says, Walter, well, I saw a UFO over Area 51, that covers the secret.
Got it. Dave Scott, how do I get in touch with you?
SpacedOutRadio.com, my friend.
SpacedOutRadio.com is a robust site that has incredible recordings of Dave's show, lets you hear his show live, and even though he's Canadian, he's, like, really interesting. Thank you, Dave Scott. Thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday. It's 17:18 past the hour. You and I are driving across the country on 80, 81, up and down I-5, I-4 in Florida, and the luge, I-90 in upstate New York. The luge, the dystopian highway where there's only things on the side of the road. Empty trailer parks, abandoned rest stops, places where there used to be tolls, but now there's just an indentation in the highway. It is the most frightening highway in America, I-90, through upstate Ohio, Pennsylvania, and the state of New York. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. If you send me an email, I'll be happy to personally send you this great brochure about our trip to the French Riviera. I'll send you a thank you card. I'll send you a Christmas card. Just send me your real mailing address to waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Skip the phone number. Skip going to the website. Just send me an email with your mailing address, waltermsterling@gmail.com. That's my private email address. I read everyone. I answer everyone. And I look forward to hearing from you. Let's you and I go to the French Riviera. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Anna Kendrick.
So, and now there's a scene in the movie that I understand was pretty uncomfortable. You guys were in the shower together.
Uncomfortable was the best day of my life.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. That is my phone number. You and I are live. This isn't a best of. It isn't tracked. It isn't from 2 days ago. It's a live radio show late at night, as God meant it to be. This is the best time of day to be on the radio because it's just us. We don't fit in. We're introverts. And introverts are the ones who make innovation. We're the ones who push and say, you know, we're like the sand in the pearl. We're the ones who make the pearl. Others can open it, eat it, but we've made it beautiful because we have original ideas and we're fearless. That's one of the great things about introverts. We don't care what you think. We don't need to be popular. We just would like to be heard. We've got really interesting ideas. And then we go back to the back of the cave. I can't believe the layoffs that companies are committing at this time of year. Big media companies, 7,000 people being let go at Disney. Thousands of people being let go at Spotify. There are 9,000 employees at Spotify. I believe they're letting go of 3,000 of them. 3,000 people. Well, first of all, whoever hired that many unnecessarily, they should be fired first. If you're doing a layoff of thousands of people in your company, who hired them? Who authorized those budgets? Okay, those people should be fired. But I'm going to pass along some information that may be helpful in my experience. Having worked at many of these big companies, and before I was a talk show host, I was a guy in a suit, wingtip shoes, white crispy shirt. I was that guy. I stood in front of the room. I gave PowerPoint presentations. Always use an odd number in a PowerPoint. That's the key. If you use 13.1, people will believe that number is correct, even though you just made it up. And always use a research company that has three names. Mr. Smart Research, but use three names. And then it's true. Odd number and three name research company, then it's absolutely true. Also, throw in the word international. If the research company is international, that helps a lot. Here's some tips. if you've been laid off, and why do the layoffs come at Christmas time? Well, that's because MBAs are in charge. People with Masters of Business Associations are looking at their budgets, their business plan for the year, when, oh, we're going to miss. Oh, I'm going to have to lay off people. So my plan looks good. If you're a good planner, if you're good with those algorithms, if you're good with that spreadsheet, you wouldn't be laying people off. It's that simple. But they're not. They're guessing. All those spreadsheets, all those Masters of Business Administrators are guessing. Well, now, if you've been let go this month, here's what you do. These are non-negotiable. Number one, anybody who asks, you loved the job and you loved the company. You cannot afford to be bitter or resentful out of your mouth. You have it in your head. Do whatever you want, but don't tell anybody that. You think the company was great. You had a terrific time. You'd love to work for them again. That's all you say. Number two, nobody's going to hire anybody till after January 1st. Enjoy the holiday. Go shopping, hang out with your friends, your family, do whatever you want to do. Nobody's going to hire you. Use the time to imagine, to envision exactly what it is you want to do. This is a chance to get the job, the position, or to start a business. Your dad and mine always said, work for yourself. Be a lawyer and work for yourself, or just work for yourself. Well, they're right. This is one way to avoid it. Problem is that 95% of new businesses fail. Take that into consideration. If a friend offers you a job, probably you don't want to work for a friend. That usually doesn't work out. Don't waste your time writing a resume. They'll all say, well, you know, freshen up your resume. Don't waste your time. What you want to do is identify exactly where you want to work and exactly what you want to do, and sit down and write a white paper about what you would do if you had that job, exactly what improvements you would make for that new company if they hired you. Now, here's what will happen. The boss, and always send it to the boss, send it to the highest person you can get it to. The boss will read it. And they may think that most of your ideas are terrible. But the minute you have written that paper, my friend, they have to deal with you. They can't file it and not see you. They'll have to see you, because what has everybody else done? Everybody else has given them a resume. And those are filed. And we'll get back to you. And we're going to keep it on file. Well, the minute you hear the words keep it on file, they might as well have said, and we're going to throw it in the trash. That's how effective that resume is going to be. But you are going to give them a white paper on specifically what you would do if you had this job. And you're thinking, well, maybe that job doesn't exist. Doesn't matter. Create your own job. The next best thing to working for yourself is create your own job at the place you want to work. And do that not by critiquing what they're doing. Don't waste your time. Don't insult them. But by saying, here's what I can add. These are great strategies you have. This is how I can help make it bigger. And when you get that interview and that conversation with the boss, know that company. Know every single thing about that company. Everything you can read, every article, load up. Have more knowledge than the person you're talking to. Because anybody you talk to at any company has a big ego about the company. And if you flatter them with your knowledge of their company, that's how you get in. That's how it happens. And I wish you every success. Let me know if these suggestions help you. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Shapiro.
I was looking up the names of the eight. I'm so angry that we're even in this situation at this point in time.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
The greatest sale on earth. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about cops' off-duty employment, moonlighting, side gigs, including one former NYPD member who was trusted to watch a museum and passed out in an exhibit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about cops that moonlighted or had off-duty side gigs. So during my time with the NYPD, there were a lot of cops that, to earn extra money on their spare time, would have some type of business or work for somebody. And the jobs and their career choices ran the gamut. One guy I worked with used to sell imported olives out of the back of his van. He would wake up first thing in the morning, go to some place down in Manhattan, pick up the olives, and then race around the five boroughs to local delis and sell these olives, then to catch a couple hours sleep and come back to work. Another guy owned a bagel store, and he couldn't work 5 minutes past his regular shift or his bagel place would turn into complete chaos. And then finally, there was a guy that in his spare time was a funeral director and used to do embalmings, which I could never wrap my head around that one. But most cops will gravitate to some kind of security gig because A, you carry a gun, and B, you're super cautious, and businesses and companies trust off-duty cops to keep an eye on things. So to watch a building or security at some type of event. Well, there was this old timer that worked in our precinct who had a bit of an alcohol problem. And I wouldn't call him an alcoholic, but he was known to partake, let's just put it that way, more than the average person. And he was always talking about getting a side gig, and we used to laugh because, like, this guy can barely hold the NYPD job. How is he going to hold a second career? But somehow, some way, this older cop lands a job with one of the museums in downtown Manhattan. And we were like, how the hell did he get that gig? And it was basically what's called a turnkey job. So if you ever heard the expression turnkey, that's because back in the old days before computerization of everything, a security guard or a night watchman would walk around a place at night, and he would have like this clock around his neck, and he would go from station to station where there would be a key, and he would stick the key in this thing, this device that he had, he would carry, and turn it, and it would leave an indentation on something inside this machine. And then at the end of the night or the end of his shift, his supervisor could see that he wasn't sitting on his butt all night or sleeping. He was walking around and going station to station every hour or half hour. Well, anyway, this cop is working in this museum. He has the job about a week, and we find out that he had gotten fired. And the backstory to it was one morning, the day shift shows up and he's nowhere to be found. And they pounded on the door, pounded on the door. They let themselves in, and now they're searching for this guy. Well, they find him passed out, drunk and hungover in a caveman exhibit with beer cans all over him. So needless to say, he got fired and lost his job and continued to work with the NYPD. For more NYPD stories, check out my new book, NYPD Laughing in the Line of Duty.
You want to get Vic Ferrari's book. What a great gift to give somebody. Vic Ferrari, go to Amazon. He's got a beautiful shop on Amazon. See all of his books. Vic Ferrari, a tremendous, tremendous contributor to Sterling on Sunday. We were talking about these companies, these huge companies that have been laying off thousands and thousands of people. And in my opinion, if you're laying off thousands and thousands of people, it should start with whoever hired them. Like, how could you be so wrong? I can see firing 10 people or so, but how the heck can you get it so wrong that you're laying off thousands and thousands of people? Let me get these numbers here, because it really, it just, you're kidding me. Hold on. Let's see where it is. All right. Okay. Amazon this year has laid off at least 9,000 people. The Facebook company Meta has laid off at least 10,000 people. CNET, 50% of their staff. Showtime, 120 people. News Corp, which owns Fox and the New York Post, 1,250 people. Disney, 7,000. PayPal, 2,000. Spotify, 600 people. How could they have missed so much? How could they have over-budgeted, spent so much money on these people, and then laid them off? The other part of the equation is, I shared with you what I think you should do if you have gotten laid off, the smartest things you can do. Say positive things about the company. Don't even waste your time between now and January 1st. Enjoy the holiday. Nobody's going to hire you now. And come up with solutions for the job that you want. Identify the job you want. Don't send out resumes. They're going to wind up in the garbage, otherwise known as we will keep it on file. But the other half of it is, you know, with these numbers, you know somebody who's been laid off. You know somebody who lost their job. And our job, yours and mine, is to be available to help. And that doesn't mean they need their mortgage paid or their rent paid or their car payments. They need help in whatever way they express. They might need a gallon of milk rather than a quart. Fill up my tank with gas. Watch my kid for a couple hours so I get a break. There are thousands of ways to help somebody in this position, but mostly you're letting them know that they're not ostracized from you and your family just because they lost their job. Just a job. All right, coming up, I'm going to tell you about the most famous and powerful woman in Hollywood who you have never heard of in seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
You have nice people who invite you for Thanksgiving dinner a month in advance, and then you spring on them the morning that you're coming. We have to bring the dog. It's wonderful with babies. It's wonderful. It doesn't even bark. Do you understand? That's real gall. That's real gall. I'm saying this to the tens of millions of people who will watch this program in repeats, originals, whenever, when I'm long gone. If you're invited to someone's home for an event, and especially if it's a stranger, don't bring or ask to bring your dog.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 4 good minutes.
I am inundated constantly with these very annoying Medicare Advantage television commercials. Before we talk about other things, tell me what the heck Medicare Advantage is.
There's traditional Medicare, where an individual gets to choose whichever doctors they want to go to, or there's Medicare Advantage, which provides everything that traditional Medicare covers, and they may provide some additional items as well.
Shannon Hill, Medicaid is the best insurance ever created, and yet thousands of people seem to be losing it this year. Tell me how they can get the support they need to get through the transition of not having Medicaid.
We know that Medicaid and CHIP are lifelines for millions of Americans, children, parents, seniors, individuals with disabilities, and countless other working adults. What's really important is for individuals who currently have Medicaid or CHIP to make sure their contact information is up to date with their state agency. Secondly, when they receive information from their state Medicaid office, to make sure that they open up that mail, that is not one they want to put to the side, that they read the information carefully, and that they submit it as quickly as possible. This allows states to be able to determine if an individual still qualifies for Medicaid and CHIP, and they may find that they do.
At healthcare.gov, I imagine there's a great deal of information. What are some of the other things I can find at healthcare.gov? Because I'm entering that very special demographic where it's very important.
When an individual puts in their information, they get to compare various health plans. So these are comprehensive plans providing things like doctor's visits, preventive care, prescription drugs, and more. And so an individual can look at those comprehensive plans, see the ones that they qualify for, and even see if they qualify for financial help.
There's a date coming up, December 15th. What is the significance of that date, and what had I better do?
December 15th is really significant because that is the last day to enroll on healthcare.gov to ensure that coverage begins January 1. We want everyone to start off the new year knowing that they're covered, able to meet those healthcare needs that they have.
Let's say I have a Medicare plan now. Why would I switch to a different Medicare plan? What would some of the criteria be?
The reason we want individuals to go to healthcare.gov every single year, whether or not they have health insurance or not, is to make sure that the plan that they have is still meeting their needs. Healthcare plans can change every year. It can be things such as copays, deductibles, the physicians that are available in that particular market. And so we want individuals to have confidence that the health plan that they are enrolled in is going to meet their needs. Individuals can also call the 1-800 number. That's 1-800-318-2596. That call center is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And because we want to make sure that we're able to communicate with every American who is looking for healthcare coverage, agents are available to communicate in over 200 languages.
Shannon Hill, very helpful information. Healthcare.gov, healthcare.gov. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Paid promotion for Sterling on Sunday, pre-recorded. It's 52 minutes past the hour. I am Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. I am always surprised at some of the myths that exist in show business, and I've been in show business all my life. One of my favorite myths is that late-night talk shows have never been successfully hosted by a woman. All the late night talk show hosts are guys, and they're the ones who have success. Well, first of all, the list of men who have failed to be successful hosts of late night talk shows is very impressive. Joey Bishop, Pat Sajak. Oh, yes, he was up doing a talk show. Chevy Chase did a late night talk show that lasted about a week. Rick Dees, Jonathan Brandmeier. Just because somebody is a guy does not mean they're going to be successful at hosting a late-night talk show. The key to being a success at a late-night talk show, besides your personality and all that stuff, is you better be able to listen. Most stand-up comics, that's who they tend to give these to, don't know how to listen. They just are fighting for the punchline. They fight with guests for the punchline. I think that was a big problem Jay Leno always had, why we weren't really interested in what Jay had to say, because he clearly wasn't interested in what the guest was saying. He was looking for a way to insert his own punchline, whereas David Letterman was a radio guy. Tom Snyder was a radio guy. Johnny Carson was a radio guy. They knew how to listen and, more importantly, how to work without a script and without a prompter. But the very first successful late-night talk show host was not Steve Allen. It was Faye Emerson. Listen to Faye Emerson.
You know, most of my mail comes from ladies, but I think this gentleman has a very good point to make. May I read you his letter? Dear Miss Emerson, with summer a month away, I'm faced with a situation that comes up every year at this time. My wife goes around in cool, comfortable dresses, but I, like all other men, have to wear shirts with stiff collars and ties. Why doesn't somebody do something about it? Asked Mr. Hugh Rogers of Weston, Connecticut. And I think he's right. I think you men are silly to go around with those heavy old coats and ties and shirts in the hot summer. You know, it's even more difficult for people who work in television under the hot lights and in the studios. And I have a gentleman here from television, a friend of mine, who is going to show you his solution to the problem. As a matter of fact, he is practically television. This is Steve Allen. Steve, say hello to your friends.
Hello to your friends.
Faye Emerson was on the CBS television network doing a late-night talk show long before Steve Allen was on the NBC television network. Faye helped set what late-night talk shows look like, how they were designed. But at the same time, the most powerful woman in radio, and easily one of the most powerful people in radio, was Molly Goldberg. And Molly Goldberg was the star of The Goldbergs. Listen to Molly Goldberg.
Yoo-hoo, Mrs. Silverton! Yoo-hoo!
You're not by any chance leaning out the window there, yoo-hooing to Mrs. Bloom or another neighbor, are you?
I'm just yoo-hooing to you, Mr. Morrow.
Well, now, you're one of the few people I have ever known who both write and act. Which do you prefer?
Act. Just wanted to see what I could wear tonight with my mistress. Which dress are you going to wear it? With my periwinkle visualized.
When you live with a character as long as I've lived with Molly, it gets a little confusing. I'm really Molly more hours through the day than I am Gertrude Bird.
Here, give me it. Try mine. I always look better than somebody else's hat.
Gertrude Burr.
Take me along when you're going by.
For years was the number one radio star on the CBS radio network and then became a TV star. But here's the thing about Gertrude Burr that's so amazing to me. She wrote every script, 50,000 scripts by hand. Sorry. 5,000 scripts by hand, which are now at the Syracuse University Library. Can you imagine that? She wrote every television script, every radio script by hand, and she was the star of the show. And she was rich. She was making like $75,000 a month during the Depression. And when Bill Paley said, I don't know if we're going to put you on TV, she said, Bill, I got you through the Depression and World War II. And you're putting me on TV. And the greatest gift Molly and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.